the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of the Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. In this special episode brought to you by Cirrus Talent, a marketing recruiting firm run by modern-day marketing matchmakers, we're going to talk about a few things, including a brief review of the state of the marketing hiring landscape, the top in-demand jobs for 2024, and what hiring managers should keep in mind about AI and hiring for marketing roles. To help me discuss these topics, I'd like to welcome back to the show, Sue Keith, Corporate Vice President at Cirrus Talent. Sue, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Greg. Always good to be with you.
Yeah. Looking forward to talking with you again here. So for those that weren't able to catch you when you were last on the show, why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself as well as on Cirrus Talent?
Sure. So I'm with Cirrus Talent. We're a national search firm based in the DC metro area. We specialize exclusively in marketing positions. And I should probably clarify that to say marketing, communications, product, and creative positions. For those who are in marketing, recognize that it's a pretty big category. Okay. And the reason we specialize in those roles is everyone on our team had a pretty long career in marketing before this interesting pivot we took into recruiting about 10 or so years ago. So we like to say we speak the language and are pretty good at the matchmaking.
Great. So we're here to talk about a few things, as I mentioned at the top of the show. But, you know, whenever I talk with you, I like to at least get a quick update on the state of the job market. So let's start with that. So, you know, we got some pretty good economic news recently from last year and the last quarter of last year specifically. Has this had any impact on the job market? And, you know, what does hiring look like right now in the marketing industry?
So I like to call it a tale of two countries. And I was saying this in 2023, and I'm saying it's still in 2024. And what I mean by that is, so for years, well, a good amount of time now, the media has been touting, you know, we have the lowest unemployment rates that we've had for years. People can't find people to hire. You know, you see this in restaurants where service is slow because they can't find enough folks to work in other industries. But this unemployment piece is really about hourly workers. It's a much different story for what I'll call corporate workers. That's just been pretty brutal for the last year or so. And as you see through the headlines, the layoffs are continuing into 2024. You know, in particular, it's been in the tech sector, but it's really been across the board. But we are seeing glimmers of hope. So as you said, the numbers have been looking really positive. I read something where January's consumer sentiment was the highest it's been in something like 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, people are spending despite crazy prices from food to flights. I've had to take a few flights recently, and the prices are ridiculous. We see that inflation is easing, although mortgage rates creep back up recently. But all the economic indicators are showing that things are looking good. I think this recession cliff that we were allegedly on for the last few years is just not going to materialize. Well, I feel like I should knock on my wooden desk.
Right.
And another thing we're seeing, which is really a positive leading indicator, is our sister company, HRQ, which specializes in HR roles to our marketing specialization. They have seen a noticeable pickup in demand for talent acquisition hires. And what I mean by that is companies hiring internal recruiters because they will need them to hire people. So that's a really good positive sign that we've seen over the last couple of months.
Yeah. So next thing I wanted to talk about is your take on the top roles and marketing jobs for 2024. I have a feeling like, you know, there might be some kind of a relationship to AI or something like that here. But, you know, why don't we talk through each real quick? You know, what's your first top role for 2024?
Sure. And I'll point out that I would say that AI is impacting and influencing all of these roles, but I wouldn't say that AI is the cause. There's a correlation between AI and the rise of these. So the first one I'll start with is customer marketing. So we first saw an interest in creating a discrete role for customer marketing in response to COVID. So prior to COVID, conversion rates were fairly predictable. So if I spend this much on Google Ads and I send this many emails and I run this many webinars and I do paid LinkedIn ads, fairly predictable conversion rates to predict pipeline and then ultimately revenue. But all that predictability went kind of wonky in COVID. And so what we saw was, you know, more people attending webinars because they were bored, right, but conversions down. Or, you know, particularly for a lot of the SaaS companies we work with, demos, actual demos of their product shot up, but then no contracts came of those, or the contract conversion rate was a lot lower. So CMOs started looking around and realized, hey, if we keep more of the customers we have to bring in fewer net new. And it's typically cheaper to do that too. And the other piece of that was, how can we get more business or more revenue out of our existing accounts? Because again, that's easier and typically less expensive than trying to land a new customer. So that's what we saw. And it's been interesting to see. It's really been, I call them two flavors of customer marketing. There's the one that is a little more in the traditional, where it's about customer engagement, customer advocacy, kind of focused on that retention piece. It's user groups, it's case studies. It's how do you get your customers to advocate for you and your product. The other flavor that's really the one that's been emerging more is really a demand gen role. It just so happens your target is this defined list of existing accounts. I joke, it's the companies that are already in Salesforce.
Right.
And really, right, it's about getting more business out of an existing account, like I mentioned. So for example, we just did a senior director of customer marketing for a global telecom company. And what happened there is they had new investment from PE firm. PE firm member joins the board, looks around and says, you have these really large multinational customers. What are you doing about getting more business out of those, in addition to looking at new logos? And hence the customer marketing role was born. You still have traditional customer marketing in the sense of, we'll call it engagement advocacy, but this new flavor is really a demand gen role, just with a defined set of accounts, existing accounts.
Got it. All right. So yeah. So first role is customer marketing. What about the second?
Sure. They're very closely tied. So second is ABM. So account-based marketing has been around for quite a while. It may not have been called that until we got some sexy tools to help support it. Right. But, you know, doing very, what I call surgical approaches to specific accounts has been going on for a long time. We've just now have a lot of cool technology like Sixth Sense or demand-based to accelerate and this stuff, the campaigns. And what we saw initially is account-based marketing became its own position. Or for example, we're doing a head of demand gen role right now for a client where the entire marketing strategy is shifted to ABM. So the people we're putting in as candidates have to be really strong in ABM, both strategy and execution. But what we're seeing is ABM lends itself really well to customer marketing. So if you think about it, it's perfectly positioned. Your target accounts are already identified because you've said these are our strategic accounts that we want to get, but they are existing customers. The accounts are already identified. And then ABM lends itself beautifully to doing, you know, very personalized, customized campaigns to target those specific companies.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, and then what about the third top role for 2024?
All right. Well, this one's a bit of a cheat, I will admit. It's not new per se, but it's really a reframing of an existing title, which in the case, it's all about customer acquisition. So whether you call it demand gen for B2B, customer acquisition for B2C, or subscriber acquisition for, you know, SiriusXM is one of our big clients, or member acquisition for an association, it's all about getting new customers in the door. And the position is being reframed as growth marketing. And sometimes you'll see revenue marketing as well. And what we really like about this is it's doing a better job, somewhat optically, of linking marketing's role in and contribution to revenue or to the company's growth. And so I love that this is shifting this idea that marketing is simply a cost center to marketing is a key player in driving customers, ultimately driving revenue, and then achieving the company's growth strategy.
Next topic, as you had mentioned, there isn't, prompt engineer isn't on your list, right. And AI marketer isn't, a title that's on that list. And yet, as we all know, and it's kind of the obligatory subject that I don't think I've had a show in the last 12 months that hasn't touched on AI in some way. We know that AI impacts marketing and, kind of across the board, and that's only really growing at this point. At some point, I'm sure it'll taper off, but the impact from accelerating content production to analyzing data, all of those kinds of things, certainly there's an impact there. So, since we talked about a few of these roles, wanted to ask about account-based marketing. So let's kind of start here. Where do you see AI impacting ABM?
Well, I start with a caveat. I am not an AI expert. We're having enough conversations with marketing leaders and doing enough research on our end that I can speak to it at a high level. So if you think about account-based marketing, ABM, it's really all about personalization. Personalizing the content that someone sees, that your target sees, the website journey that person goes through. But it's also what makes doing ABM so really labor-intensive and hard, because you need to build customized content and these journeys and all that, events, et cetera, needs to be customized for each target account. So it's a ton of work. Now, like I mentioned, some of those tools that are now exist today help to enable and accelerate this, but it's still a lot of work. And if you think about it, AI is fundamentally about personalization, or really hyper-personalization, if you think about it. Yeah. So it can help also accelerate your ABM strategy by analyzing a ton of data to identify individual account preferences, behaviors, kind of predicting, if customer or prospect has done these three things on our site, they are likely to do this fourth. Yeah. All that can be sped up and enabled with AI, and is particularly suited for ABM. So ultimately, I say it can make your ABM campaigns even more surgical than they were.
Yeah. Yeah. So another area here, we talk about SEO or search engine optimization less than we talk about AI, perhaps, but, AI is going to have some interesting impacts on SEO as well. What should marketing leaders be keeping in mind here?
So this might be, I'm almost embarrassed to say this because it struck me a few weeks ago when I was reading an article, and it's maybe stating the obvious, but if someone is using ChatGPT or insert equivalent AI tool, if you think about it, the results you get do not send you anywhere else.
Right.
You get prose. I just did a ChatGPT something this morning. You get a list of things right in front of you. You're not clicking over to a link, whether it be an organic result or a sponsored link. You're going nowhere. So if you are replacing Google search with using one of the AI tools, all that traffic that used to be coming in either organically or paid to your website or isn't coming anymore. That was a big, almost mind blown realization I had. And maybe I had it more recently than I should have. But if you think about all the work you're doing for SEO, it kind of goes out the window if no one's being sent back to your website.
Yeah, it's definitely there. This is such an interesting topic, and I related to this. I recently interviewed somebody from a publisher who was talking about the impact there is, they're actually creating their own GPT that searches their own publication. And, it changes not only how people search for things and find information, but it's also changing the way that people even interact and with a news site or a thought leadership site or stuff like that. So definitely it's, and you see the amount that Google's investing in AI as well. And, so it's kind of the barometer of, yes, there's some interesting things and some behavioral shifts that I'll, some people are talking about it, but I think you're right in saying that there's a lot to pay attention to here. It's not just that ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever are neat tools to use. It's they are fundamentally going to change consumer and business buyer behavior, and we need to be mindful of that.
Absolutely. You know, and to that point about Google, if, you know, for those who are still doing searches on Google, they're coming out with SGE, which is Search Generative Experience, I think this spring.
Yeah.
And it's going to change the way everything shows up at the top of their searches.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you're an SEO marketer and you love this, because, you know, Google's been changing things, all the platforms have been changing things. You know, it's like been whack-a-mole for years.
Right.
So if you really enjoy that game of, okay, how do we game it and how do we adjust for this new SG or what ChatGPT is doing? This could be really exciting for somebody.
Yeah.
Or it could be really painful.
probably a mix of both, but depending
on the day.
Yeah.
But what I do think we can all agree on is it is going to dramatically change organic search strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I read an interesting stat, and I'm going to have a shameless plug in a second. So I don't know if you're familiar with Insight Partners. They're one of the largest PE firms in the world, and they own like a whole bunch of fancy tech names we'd all recognize. They quoted, they expect their average portfolio company, so one of the companies they own, to lose about 20% of their organic search traffic if they do nothing about AI.
Wow. Yeah.
And here comes the shameless plug. So Gary Service, who's one of their operating partners, is actually going to be doing a webinar as our keynote speaker on March 19th about what he calls the five seismic shifts that AI will have on marketing. So I was reading a blog post he put out on a lot of this, and it's like, I want to stress that most of the conversations we have with marketing leaders are about what you mentioned earlier. It's using AI to accelerate content production because, you know, ChatGPT can get a blog post 70% baked, and then you have to come in and put in your own voice and take. But this is well beyond content. And so he'll be talking about what he's calling these five seismic shifts. So if anyone wants to listen in, I would just search, if you're still using Google, search Cirrus Talent and AI seismic shifts, and you should find our registration page.
Nice. We'll also put a link in the show notes, make sure everybody gets Excellent. There as well. Yeah, great. You know, one last topic on AI and its relation here. Obviously, in a large organization, there are separate data and tech teams and everything like that. But what should marketing leaders be thinking about as far as evolving their tech stack in, you know, just keeping in mind what's the seismic shift that is happening?
Right. Well, I would say, you know, I can't speak to what each MarTech platform is doing, but I can tell you that everyone is doing something with AI, like building it into their software in some way, probably some really cool ways. So for example, I was talking to the CMO of a cannabis company. I actually talked to two CMOs of cannabis companies in the last month, which hadn't been able to say before.
Right, right.
It's, by the way, it's the industry's struggling a bit. That she recently told me. So here's an example. They use Spotify to serve up their e-commerce platform. And so Spotify has built in what she calls price optimization tools into their platform. So their pricing can dynamically change based on the customer profile, the geography they're in, or it can serve up what products to bundle together as an offering in front of each individual person coming into their website. So that's just a cool example of what Spotify is doing, and I'm sure all the others are. So what I would say is I would encourage marketing leaders to get in touch with the rep for each of your tech stack platforms, if you will, and understand that company's AI roadmap for their product. So you can see what's coming down the pike and start thinking about how would we use that? Or well, if they're able to do that, maybe we don't need tool number two over here. But I would start talking to them about what's coming, what's on the roadmap for the software that you're using, and see how that could impact how you go to market down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. Well, Sue, thanks so much for joining the show. And one last question before we wrap up here. You've given a lot of great insights and advice already, but what's one piece of advice that you'd have for leaders as, you know, we're a couple months into the year, but, you know, still kicking off the year and undoubtedly needing to plan for the months ahead. You know, what's one thing that marketing leaders should do to be better prepared for the months ahead?
So we've seen this interesting trend that, you know, I've been at this over 10 years and we hadn't seen this before. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, so many companies are still downsizing and at best keeping headcounts flat. But the work still needs to get done. I mean, I've been saying this for a couple of years now, but the work still needs to get done. Yeah. And in many cases, marketing leaders are being asked to do more with less. I'm starting to see, you know, people putting out blog posts and everyone talking about this LinkedIn, and it's a conversation to keep having is our revenue goals, our, you know, pipeline goals are higher than ever, and but our staff is lower than ever, yeah, as well as budgets for programs as well. So I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but we, our search practice includes both full-time placements, of course, but we also do fractional marketing, CMOs, marketing leaders, but also contract folks where, and that's what we've seen. And we've been doing bringing in contractors for a lot of reasons for clients. It might be, you know, a leave coverage or, hey, I've got this new program that I don't have anyone on my team who can really handle. I just need someone to run with it. But typically they're asking us for more senior, or I should say seasoned marketers who can just plop in, parachute in and run and figure out what needs to be done. But we're seeing this really interesting trend, which to date has been an anomaly, that our clients are asking us to bring in pretty junior marketers as contractors, not hiring them as full-time, which typically doesn't work because one, someone with 3 or 4 years of marketing experience can't just parachute in and go. They need a lot of guidance. Right. And typically someone with 3 to 4 years of marketing experience has no interest in being a contractor. They want a full-time job. They want the steady salary. They want the benefits. And it's just where they are in their career. Typically you're not doing contracting or fractional until you're further along. But there have been interesting reasons for this. Most of it is gun shyness, if I could call it that.
Yeah.
Is we're so worried, like we're so lucky to have this headcount. We're worried to pull in the wrong person. And so let's do a try before you buy scenario. Or we had a marketing manager who just didn't work out. And now we're really, again, gun shy to make the wrong decision again. So could we do a try before you buy? And typically what we would say to our clients is no, because your addressable candidate market becomes so tiny because anyone, you know, the only person typically who would be interested in taking what I call a maybe job, because a lot of these are contract to perm, is someone who is unemployed at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have so many people who are unemployed at the moment. We're having a lot of success finding candidates who are open to doing a contract to perm. They get to try before they buy too, but it gets them in the door. And in most cases, things go well and they do end up being hired. But we have never in the 10 plus years have we seen this much demand for junior level contract to perm folks.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, again, I'd like to thank Sue Keith, Corporate Vice President at Cirrus Talent, a marketing recruiting firm run by modern-day marketing matchmakers, for joining the show. You can learn more about Sue and Cirrus Talent, as well as access the webinar we mentioned, by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkihlstrom.com. That's GregKihlstrom.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kihlstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.